Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. We're so excited you're tuning into one of our amazing messages. What you're about to hear is going to be fresh, it's going to be real, and it's going to be powerful. It's going to help you to grow stronger in your walk with God. It's going to put faith on the inside of you. It's going to cause you to be able to walk in greater dimensions of blessing and enlargement so that you can be a blessing to other people. Well, lean in, enjoy the word. God bless you.
I want to share my personal story of my journey to freedom with you. And I hope that in some of my story, you can see yourself in me. I hope that you can identify with some things that you're going to hear about my testimony. So let's get started. I want you to know that I grew up in a Mormon home. I went to church every Sunday with my parents. We were very devout. When I was 8 years old, like a good Mormon, I got baptized. And from the time I was a little girl, I just had such a heart for God. I wanted to be close to God. I just loved God. And I remember the day my parents gave me this little ring that they would give the church kids, and it was in the shape of a little shield, and it had the letters CTR, and it stood for Choose the Right. And girls, I wore my ring proudly. I wanted to choose the right. I loved God. I wanted to just, you know, do all the right things to please God. I don't have a lot of memories of my childhood, and a therapist told me it was because of disassociation. Sometimes when you go through a lot of trauma, your brain just puts things in the back and you don't remember them. I went through a lot of trauma when I was little. I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, it was like 2 weeks before Christmas, and right, it should be like the most magical time for a kid, so fun. Well, my parents got into a huge fight, and they weren't speaking to each other, and Christmas was just like a big downer. And it was sad. I mean, you're a kid. You want it to be happy. You want to see your parents happy. And then fast forward to every year after that, that was Christmas. My parents were fighting, and they wouldn't speak to each other. They wouldn't speak to each other for weeks. Imagine the tension in our home. And then my mom, she was battling a lot of mental health issues. She had a lot of emotional problems. She took a lot of pills for depression. And I remember one night, my dad came into my bedroom, and he woke me up. It was late into the night, and he said, come. He said, I want you to talk to your mom. And we walked over to the bedroom, but my mom had locked herself in the room. And my dad was knocking and knocking, and he was asking her to let him in, and now he was yelling, and finally he just kicked the door in. And we walked in, and what I saw was this horrible picture. My mom was sitting on the bed, tears streaming down her face, and she had a gun to her head. And I ran in, and I just took the gun from her, and I don't know why, but I just started to just hit my mom. It was very traumatic. And then, and after that, it just got worse. My mom just took a lot of pills. One day, she overdosed, and I had to go to the hospital with her, and I was just like 12 at this time, and they had to pump her stomach, and it was really sad. It was a really ugly sight. She was vomiting this black tar-looking stuff because it was what they were using to clean her insides, and those pictures, you know, they can be very traumatic. It can just really bring so much like pain and wounding to our hearts. And then I'd get home from school sometimes, and my mom would just be passed out for like 3 days. She'd just be passed out on pills. And my dad, he was always just about to divorce my mom. He was always just like with one foot out the door. So there was a lot of instability in our home. And on the outside, It looked like we were the perfect family. My mom was beautiful and my dad was successful and it looked like everything was okay. But in the inside, there was just turmoil and chaos and so much dysfunction. Then when I was 16, I met my Prince Charming, my husband. Yeah. And his story was completely different. He's the youngest of 10 kids and like a really great family, strong marriage. His parents had a really strong marriage. And honestly, I feel like he was just like God's greatest gift to me. He came into my life. We got married and we're going to be celebrating our 35th anniversary next month. Yeah. 35 years, yeah. And I can say that I love him even more today. He's just like the most wonderful man. I'm so thankful for him. And so anyway, we got married when I was just 18. And you can do the math, ladies. I'm 53, okay. No, I'm trying to do the math. But anyway, so I was 18, he was 22, and we got married, and I just couldn't believe my life. I was so happy. Like, I wanted to pinch myself. Like, is this real? And then just 4 months after that we got married, we went on this trip. One of my sister-in-laws had become a Christian. And we went on this trip, a business trip with her and her husband. And so she had her Bible with her and she was reading the Bible. And I had read the Bible from cover to cover when I was like 15 or 16. I had read the Book of Mormon from cover to cover. I was searching for God. I really had a need for God in my life. So I was searching. But you know, I didn't have the Holy Spirit. So when I read through the Bible, I didn't understand anything. And when I read through the Book of Mormon, I understood even less than that, you know. And so she had her Bible, and I was asking her some questions because I was searching. And every question that I asked, she would answer me with Scripture. She would show me in the Bible, well, this is, you know, this says that. And so I understood, oh my gosh, like I could know the truth. Like there is some place where that can show me what truth is. And she said, give your lives to Christ. She said, open up your heart, tell him to come into your life. And my husband and I did that. We prayed and we said, Jesus, we open our hearts to you, come into our lives. And it was beautiful. It was powerful. And then that week, she invited us to church, and I remember walking in to this church building, and people were clapping, and they were full of joy, and they were raising their hands in worship, and I started raising my hands in worship and singing, and I felt like I was home, like I was home finally. Yeah, it was so powerful. And then we went out, we bought a couple of Bibles, started to read the Bible, and then my sister-in-law said, you know what, you need the Holy Spirit, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So alone in my home, sitting on my couch, I said, Holy Spirit, I need you, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, started speaking in tongues. Yeah, it was like a radical salvation. And then, like I said, I started to read the Bible. And I remember, you know, I started in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you haven't read the Bible, I highly recommend that you read the Bible. But please start in the New Testament. Yeah. And my sister-in-law was good. She told me, start in the New Testament. You don't want to start like in Leviticus or something, you know. And so I started reading it. And when I got to John, I remember reading John 8:32. And it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's the title of this message, Set Free. I was set free. And it dawned on me when I read that, that what I had been searching for was truth, and truth was in the Word of God, and that truth could set me free from all the things that I had struggled with. You know, when I grew up in the Mormon church, I always, like I said, I wanted to please God, but I always felt condemned. I always felt guilty, like I just couldn't measure up. There was do's and don'ts, and in the Mormon church, I was taught that salvation is through works. You have to do all these good things. You have to do all these things right, and then you can be accepted by God. And then you can't do all these other things, you know? And so that's what my experience was. So I never measured up to God. I wanted to, but when I started reading the Bible, I understood, okay, Jesus, he went to the cross for me. He took my place. He took my punishment for my sins. And I'm forgiven. I've been made new. I have salvation. You know, when before I used to think, okay, if I do all these things right, and if I'm just good enough, maybe I'll get to heaven. And now I knew I had a place in heaven because of what Jesus had done for me. And that's so beautiful. You know, I want you to know tonight that it's not what you do for God. And it's not how good you can be for him. It's what he's done already for you. He's paid a high price for you. So, yeah, that's a hand clap. Lord, thank you for what you've done. And so, I was set free from so many things, from so much guilt and condemnation. And when I started to read the Word of God, I remember reading in Romans 8:1, and it says, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I had always felt condemned. I knew that my life wasn't up to God's standards. But now, okay, I'm in Christ, and there's no condemnation for me. And so I began speaking that over myself. I began praying. I read in 2 Corinthians, it says that God made him who knew no sin, Jesus never sinned, he made him sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. Did you know that? Did you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ? And the Bible says that in one translation, it says that God has transferred the righteousness of Jesus to us. So I stand here and I'm righteous, not because I'm good enough, not because of the things I do, not because of the things I don't do, but because Jesus has given me his righteousness. And that is powerful. That is liberating. Yeah. That is so powerful. And so I got so much freedom, but how many of you ladies know that when you get freedom, it's then there's like this chain reaction of more freedom and more freedom. God doesn't just stop there. We get more and more freedom. So then one day I realized, gosh, I probably really need to forgive my parents. I didn't even know that I was holding on to some anger and some unforgiveness. And so God led me to forgive my parents. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." I want us to focus on the first part. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And it might sound redundant, like he's saying the same thing, but no, God is saying, "I've set you free so that you continue to live in freedom." That's what he's saying. And so I realized that I had to forgive my parents, and I did that. I forgave my parents, and it brought a new level of freedom. And I'm telling you, since then, I've had more and more and more freedom. And that's what God has for you. Last night was freedom night here at church, and it was really powerful. And I know that some of you ladies got freedom, but I'm telling you tonight, you're going to get even more freedom. Because God is so good. And you know what's beautiful is that God doesn't just throw everything at us at once. That would just be too much. It would be overwhelming. God lets things come up at the right time He lets things come up to the surface and we realize, gosh, this is an area where I need more freedom. I need freedom. And then God deals with it. And he's a gentleman. He comes in and he asks us if we want freedom. And if we will just surrender to that process, he'll bring more and more freedom. It's powerful. Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Jesus started a work in you. Jesus started a work in me. And he's the one that's going to finish it. Sometimes we think that we have to get ourselves, like, we have to do good. We have to make ourselves be good. But you know what? I want to tell you tonight that it's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. It's his job. If we just surrender to him, he wants to purify our hearts. He wants to cleanse our lives. I don't know where you're at in your journey with God. You might be here for the first time in church. But I want you to know God loves you. God loves you, and he wants to do a great work in your life. Even that I'm standing up here, I want you to know, is a miracle. Because I had so much fear and insecurity. Like, you don't understand how much fear and insecurity I used to have. I used to be really shy. And I always wanted to be like in the back. I always wanted to be hidden. And I had lost my voice. I think because of some of the things that I had walked through, I just, you know, I kind of went inward, you know. And so I had lost my voice. And that's another area where God has given me such freedom. God gave me my voice back. And he gave me a purpose, and I'm living in it, and I'm full of joy. And that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for you tonight. When I was preparing this message, one night I went to sleep, and then I had this dream. And it was a really incredible dream, and God gave me just the revelation of it when I woke up. But in my dream, I saw Amy Thomas. Where are you, Amy? Hi, Amy. So in my dream, I saw Amy Thomas. There was this bus in back of her. It was black. It was a big black bus. And it was just sheer darkness. I couldn't even see inside the bus in the dream because it was so much darkness. It was so black. But I saw Amy, and she was coming off the bus. She was taking steps and just coming off the bus. And I knew that Amy represented all of you. She represented all of you here tonight. And when I saw Amy, she looked young and beautiful. Yeah, Amy, young, beautiful, come on. Yeah. And she had the most wonderful smile on her face. Like, she was smiley from ear to ear. And she had a short dress. And she had a really cool coat on. Up, the Lord showed me that you ladies are here tonight to step out of the darkness. He is bringing you. He brought you here to step out of darkness. And I told you, Amy, she was young and beautiful, and that speaks of restoration. The things that have been lost in your life, God wants to restore. The short dress that she was wearing was cute. She was all flirty. And yeah, and you know what? That speaks to me of God giving you new garments. You're putting on new garments. God is doing something new. The Bible says that when we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And that little short, flirty dress, that speaks of a new creation. And the old things, they're gone, and we're stepping into new things. And yeah, isn't it cool? Like, God would speak to me in a dream about you ladies. And then I knew that the coat represented a calling. God has a calling for each one of you. God has purpose for each one of you. And so tonight, you're going to discover a lot of things about that. You're going to discover what God says about you so that you can step in to the great life, to the incredible life, to the freedom, to the joy that God has for you. Ladies, I want you to take a stand. If you would, please. One day when I was praying for you, the Lord showed me that tonight he's going to break some things off. Just like I had believed lies about myself, I felt condemned, I felt unworthy of being loved by God, I had to retrain my mind to believe the truth of the Word of God. Tonight, God's going to break off lies that you've believed about yourself. And when I was praying for you, the Lord showed me that God is going to heal mental health tonight. I don't know if there's anybody that's struggling with depression, anxiety. God is going to heal that tonight. God even showed me, he said that he was going to heal bipolar, that he was going to heal schizophrenia. Do you believe it? With God, there's nothing impossible. There's nothing impossible for God. And he's here. He's here to meet us. So, ladies, I want you to close your eyes. Just get comfortable, relax, close your eyes. The Holy Spirit is just going to come and meet with you. Let me pray. Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit right now would just speak to every one of these beautiful women, Lord God. Holy Spirit, reveal the lies that these women have believed about themselves. Reveal the lies that the enemy has spoken over them right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to repeat after me. We're going to break some of this stuff. Some of these things that the Holy Spirit is bringing up, we're going to break them off. The Holy Spirit is right now working, and he's showing you what needs to be broken off. Maybe you feel like a failure. Maybe you've gone through a divorce or some kind of disappointment in a relationship, and you just think that you're unworthy to be loved. That's not true. That isn't true. Maybe you're here tonight, and you've made some big mistakes. Maybe you've done some things that you feel ashamed about. You know what? God says that with him, there's no condemnation. We confess our sins. He forgives us. He shakes off the junk, the dirt that we feel on us. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lead you to pray. Say, Father, I thank you for freedom tonight. Father, I surrender my life to you. And Father, I choose to give my entire life to you. And Father, break off the lies that I have believed about myself. And just right now, quietly, just whisper whatever that lie is. Say, I break off that lie. And you can say what that lie is. And I take authority in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. I take authority of every lie that the enemy has spoken over you. And I bind the lies and I break them in the name of Jesus. I come against shame. Shame, you have to go in the name of Jesus. I come against guilt and condemnation. I bind it in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against feelings of worthlessness. I come against feelings of being a failure. And I bind them in the name of Jesus. I bind rejection. I command it to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Ladies, if you guys would all close your eyes and bow your heads, This is a holy moment. I know that in a group like this, there are some of you that are struggling with your mental health. And I want you to be really brave right now. I want you to be bold. I want you to lift up your hand if that's you. If you're struggling in any way, thank you, with mental health. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray over you right now. And God is going to just work miracles in your life. God is going to renew your mind. Make it new. Father, I thank you for the power of the name of Jesus, Father in heaven. Father, I thank you that you make all things new, Lord God. There's nothing that's too difficult, nothing that's impossible with you, Lord God. Father, I thank you that you have come to give us life, life in abundance, Father in heaven. And right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against all mental illness. In Jesus' name, I come against the power of the enemy that would try to keep the daughters of God bound, and I bind him. I take authority over the works of the enemy in Jesus' name. I come against depression, and I say, depression, you have to go. I come against bipolar disease, and I say, you are no match for the name of Jesus. I come against you in Jesus' name. And schizophrenia, I bind you in Jesus' name. I silence you, and I command you to loose the daughters of God in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against anxiety in Jesus' name. Anxiety has to go. Father, I just pray right now over your daughters, Lord God, that a cleansing, Father, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus would just come over them, Father in heaven. I thank you, Lord God, for what you are going to do, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that they are going to experience the freedom, Father in heaven, that Jesus died on the cross for them to have, Lord God. I want you to stay with your eyes closed just for a minute. Close your eyes, ladies. And I want you to picture Jesus, and he's standing right in front of you. Jesus is standing right in front of you, and you can see him. And his eyes are full of love for you. And he says, daughter, he says, I love you. He says, daughter, I call you beloved. He says, I'm not holding anything against you. He says, I forgive you. And then picture Jesus just very gently taking your face in his hands and looking straight into your eyes. And this is what he says. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. That's a scripture from Isaiah, Isaiah 62:3. I'm going to repeat that again. This is what God speaks over you tonight. He says, you will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You guys, a diadem is a jeweled crown or a headband, and it's worn as a symbol of sovereignty. It's worn as a symbol of royalty, and that's who you are. That's who you are to God. God says that we are a royal priesthood, and tonight, God doesn't just crown your head. He says, you are a crown in my hand. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have done in your daughters tonight, Lord God. Father, I pray that right now you would just wash over each one of your daughters, Lord God, with the love that you have for them, Lord God. I pray that you bless them, Lord God. I pray, Father, that they would begin knowing who you are, Lord God, and who they are in you, Lord. And I thank you, Father. I thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, ladies, let's give the Lord a big thank you, a big clap. Yes. Today, when I was just resting, I was trying to get some rest. Ladies, I stayed up till 2 in the morning. And I was trying to rest, and I had my eyes closed, and the Lord just had some words that he wanted me to speak over you. And I wanted to give you a word, Pastor Lauren. I really felt God say that he has seen what you do in private. He has seen, he knows that you have that quiet time with him. And he sees what you do in private. What nobody else sees, he sees. And the Lord said that he's going to honor you publicly. And then I felt the Lord say, Pastor Loren, that Utah needs so much what you carry. You carry just a joy and a sweetness and just a sincerity, but you're also a powerhouse. You carry the power of God. You carry the love of God. And, the Lord told me that this is training ground. This is training ground for so many of you. This is just the first campus. This is just the first campus in Utah. And I really believe that you and Pastor Matt, you have the ministry of not just being over this campus, but raising up leaders so that they can go out. And you're going to be planting other campuses. I want you to know that. That is really powerful. Yeah. And then I had a word for you, Tony. Tony. What God said is that you're not afraid to take things on. You're not afraid to take things on. And you've taken some things on. And you've served the house of God. God is really proud of you. And you've served the house of God. And there's some things in your own house that God is taking care of. And I want you to know that you're going to see the harvest of your prayers. And you're going to see the harvest of the things that you've sown into the house of God. You're going to reap it in your own home. Yeah. So, ladies, it was my pleasure to be here with you tonight. I love you all, and just God bless you. Pastor Loren.
Wow. What an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen. For more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.